Let me say certainly good morning. It's good to see each and everybody here in the house of the Lord. Let me apologize to Stevie. Stevie, if y'all didn't notice, give me that look at the end of that first verse, like, come on up here. You know, it's time for you to welcome everybody. I'll be honest with you. My heart's in a place where if I got started welcoming you, I didn't know if I could stop. I don't know how you feel about it this morning. But there's nothing like meeting with God's people. There's nothing like coming to the house of the Lord and being in a place with the people that you love and that you know that they love you, and together you love the Lord and serve the Lord together. There's nothing more miserable, I think, than what we've been through over the last several months, where everything is so up in the air, and there are times that we're able to come, and there are times when, because of the crisis going on around us, we're not able, and all those different things lead to so much frustration. There's nothing more essential to my heart and my soul than being in the house of God with God's people. I, by nature, am a mischievous person, and those of you that have been around me long enough, you know that that's the case. I'm just mischievous. And I love to get in the place with God where God begins to speak to my heart and deal with me about what's going on in my life. And let me say this morning that certainly this message is not for you and for y'all, but it's for us. And certainly it's for your pastor this morning. And so, as we do our best to share with you what God has shared with us, if we do a little repenting along the way, you just get in there with us and understand that I'd rather repent and be right with God and be clean than to make out like nothing that we preach has an effect on us whatsoever. If you have your Bibles, there are two places that we want to read, and one of them's found in the book of Hosea. You don't have to turn there if you trust me. You can look it up later, but you're certainly welcome. There are two verses that we want to turn to there, and then we're going to turn to the 13th chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, a very familiar portion of Scripture. But in that 10th chapter of Hosea, Hosea is speaking to a people that for 70 years had been in captivity. For 70 years, because of their sin as a nation and as a whole, God had judged them. Remember the scriptures in the Psalms where it said, and they had hung their harps in the trees of Babylon. They were in a strange land, and a song was required of them. They had hung their trees by the river. And for 70 years, they had suffered this judgment of God. It was a chastisement of God. And let me say that God had chastised them because he loved them. And it was his desire to bring them back close unto himself. No doubt when we get in the midst of trouble in our lives and we find ourselves going through difficult times, and a lot of times it's because of decisions that we have made and things that we do. And so often we are our own worst enemy. I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but let me say I certainly do. And so here they've been 70 years and they've been in captivity, but here Hosea, and the Lord through Hosea, sends them a message. And he says this, verse 12 and 13, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Listen, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Oh, if I had a thought one above another, and I'm going to continue reading, but to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's simply this, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, till he come and reign righteousness upon you. Listen, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruits of lies because thou didst turn or distrust in thy way and in the multitude of mighty men. Then over in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he had sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He who hath ears, let him hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus, how thankful we are for the promises of God. How thankful we are for the Word of God. And Father, we realize that there are so many in our world today, Father, that sow iniquity. They sow iniquity into our society. They sow iniquity into our schools. And they sow iniquity, God, into the lives of those that are around them. God, I pray, Father, this morning that you would speak expressively to the church through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray, and Father, I must confess, there are stones in my life, things under the surface that hinder my growth. God, nobody sees them because they're hidden under the surface. But God, they prevent your word from taking deep root in my life. God, I pray, Lord, dig down through your word and pull up those stones. Every time, seem like, God, I try to serve you, I run into those stones over and over. God, I pray, Lord, this morning through your word, help me name those stones and set them out of the field. Because, God, your work means more than anything. And, Lord, I thank you for the labors that we have here. Laboring together, you said, the field is white unto harvest, but the labors are few. God, I believe this is a good place, and this is such a sweet people. God, they deserve a better pasture than what they've got. But God, even in spite of myself, Lord, for just a little while, God, speak to them as only you can. And Lord, where we've allowed things to spring up in our lives, and God, choke out the fruitfulness of your love and your word. God, I pray this morning, let your word be a two-edged sword that's like taking the hold of the field and cut down those tares and those weeds that are choking the life out of us. Boo Boo said this morning that, Lord, your little old church is like a bouquet of roses. Oh, God, I pray. I want to be careful how I labor in the field of God. This is not just, Lord, my people, but this is your people. I want to be real careful, God, how I plow the field this morning. So, God, I ask you to help us, lead us. Guide us. We love you and praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. And amen. Let me say again, this ought to be right in the old preacher's wheelhouse. If there's anything that maybe we ought to know a little bit about, it's about farming. And certainly we know a little bit. We know about enough to get us in trouble. But I want to say this to you this morning. That scripture that I read to you in the book of Hosea, those people have been in captivity for 70 years. And what God was telling them through Hosea is simply this: get ready, there is a time coming when I'm going to rain my righteousness. There's a time coming when I'm going to send the rain. And what I want you to do is I want you to make preparation and I want you to break up the fallow ground of your heart. When we read the parable of the sower and the seed, we're going to find out that there are some constants in that parable. The word of God is always good seed. Doesn't matter who's doing the sowing, but what we see and the difference is the situation of the ground. And let me ask you this morning, Has anybody in the house of God done anything of this week or this morning before you come to God's house to prepare the ground of your heart to receive the Word of God? So often we come in and our hearts, you know, we go through a hard, desolate, cold world. It's a cold time in the United States of America. And I'm not just talking about how things have froze up down in Texas and all that. I'm talking about the hearts of so many people have grown cold. And because of the hardness that is around us, so many of us, if we're not careful, we begin to harden our heart even toward one another. If I hurt you and you hurt me, the way to keep you from hurting me is to throw up a wall. It's to harden my heart and say, you know what? I'm not going to let you in, but so far. And we all do that so often to protect ourselves. There are very few people that we allow to get into our lives because we've been hurt before and we're so skeptical and it seems like everybody is out to get us. But I want you to know this. The Lord said, break up the fallow ground of your heart. And for you to receive the love of God and for you to receive the love that we have for one another, you've got to be willing to trust and to open your heart to the Word and the moving of God. They'd went 70 years and been in captivity. They'd went 70 years, and the reason I've had such a struggle this morning, we were studying or had our Sunday school, and I could, the 84th chapter of the book of Psalm, where David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And that scripture began to permeate in my heart, and I said, God, how do these two work together, the sower and the seed? And being a doorkeeper, I want to tell you how they work together. When God is in the matter, you're happy where you're planted. Oh, I'm glad God has planted me in Mother Church. Do you know what the writer said to Psalmist David? He said, when I come to the house of God, it's like a sparrow flying to her nest. Oh my, aren't you glad that we can be planted in a church with a people that love us? I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, this church is good ground. Oh, I know we've got our faults. I know we're not perfect, but I tell you what, there's no other field I'd rather labor in than right here at Silver City Church. He said, I'm like a sparrow going back to her nest. Boy, I love the way God uses the simple things to explain some of the complex, you know, complex things of theology. Thank God it's simple. Now, whenever we talk about the parable on the sower and the seed, I want you to notice this. First of all, Jesus said, behold, a sower went forth and to sow. Listen, I want you to know something about the seed that he was sowing. It was good seed. How many of you know that the Word of God is not just good seed, it's perfect seed. Listen, it's pure seed. Oh, it'll germinate every time. Don't you know you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed? Don't you know, those of you that are saved, God's planted something down. Glory to the Lamb of God. One day after a while, all those that have been saved by the grace of God that we planted out in that graveyard, they're going to come out of the ground because they're born of incorruptible seed. Know this, when my time comes to die and they plant me in the ground, I'm going to come out one day. I don't know what I'll be, but I'll have a body like it under the Son of God. Incorruptible seed. You know, here in a little while, well, I went by the other day to the hardware store. Daddy said, son, pick me up 50 pounds of Kenny baked potatoes. Anybody know what that is? I ain't got much Garner in here with me. Let me explain this to you. Kenny baked is an Irish potato, or as we call them, Irish potato. And you cut it up. It's got little eyes on it, and that's your seed potatoes. And you plant them in the ground. And my daddy, he's notorious. Boy, when this message gets to him, I'm probably in a lot of trouble if he hears it. He loves when it comes, that first little crack of springtime, and it warms up. I guarantee you, before the end of March, we'll have taters in the ground. And it never fails. It always comes a cold spell. And it kills them in the ground because the ground is so cold. Do you realize that the hearts of so many of God's people and so many people in this world around us have grown so cold that even that perfect seed sets there because their hearts are cold? But I'm going to tell you something about the place where I serve. I'm going to tell you something about the church that I love. Her heart's not cold. It's warm. And thank God she pry out. The Bible said a sower went forth to sow. Aren't you glad that every time we preach the gospel of Christ, not some version, but the true gospel of Christ, the true word of God. The Bible said that when the earth melts with a fervent heat, his word will remain. It's incorruptible. It's perfect seed. Hey, there's nothing worse than when we plant our pumpkins. We'll go out and plant it. Boy, I'm going to tell you how cheap we are sometimes. Every now and then we'll take, and if we don't use all the seeds up from 1 year, if the germination is over 90%, we'll put them in the freezer and hold them in the freezer until the next year. But if they've been left out and got into bad conditions, you go and plant them and they won't come up. And there's nothing more discouraging than to plant 4 or 5 big long rows of stuff and none of it come up. If you ever had that happen in your garden, you know what? What happened was, the seed lost its capability to germinate. What was on the inside of it had died. If you look at a seed, the embryo is the heart of the seed. Well, I want you to know the good thing about the incorruptible word of God is simply this. When it's planted in the heart, that heart will never die. It'll always bear fruit. Nothing worse. And going down the row and nothing comes up. I'm going to tell you, the word of God is perfect seed. It's good seed. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the only seed worth sowing in the church of the living God. It brings life. It brings help. You know what? Listen, you may come in here this morning, your heart may be broken. I'm telling you, if you let the word of God plant itself in you, God can heal your heart. You may come here this morning and be desolate and down to your last little bit, and your mentality and your heart and your mind are broken and wounded. I want to tell you, the seed and the word of God can help you this morning. But you got to be willing to take it in. Well, what happens? Well, first of all, we see that they sow the seed and it goes by what's called the wayside. At the end of the field, and Nathan can attest to this, and any of you that have farmed, we'll take our implement, whether it's a set of harrows or hars for those of you that are down south, or whether it's a plow, we'll pick that plow up and we'll turn and head back in the other direction. And where you pick that up and you turn that ground, every time you run over with a tractor, it compacts it. It makes it hard. It makes it really, it's almost like concrete when it's said and done. And you can throw any seeds you want to on it, and it will not implant because it's been compacted. And let me say this, there are a lot of people in life, they've had awful things happen to them. Listen, they've been through some stuff. They've hardened their heart. It's compacted. And the word of God cannot penetrate your situation because your heart is so hard. And let's be real careful about judging those people. You know why? Because I'm one of those people every now and again. And let me say this, listen, there are people that go through things in life and the only way they can survive it is to harden their heart. It's to not let anybody or anything in. Yeah, those are the kind of people when you go to hug on them and love on them, they don't want anything to do with it. I'm not talking about you, sweetheart, but they don't want anything to do with you. I know you love me. Let me ask you this, is there anybody under the sound of my voice ever been hurt? I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about emotionally. Anybody carrying around any emotional scars? Have you ever said to yourself, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll not let them hurt me again, I'll just shut my heart off, I'll harden, I'll unplug, I'll have no part? That's a horrible way to live your life. There's no blessing in it. And it's so hard for the body of Christ to come together when so many of us have hardened our heart because somebody's hurt us or we've disagreed with one another. I want to tell you this. If we live around each other long enough, we're going to disagree about something. That don't mean we don't love each other. And so many, they harden their heart. How many times have I stood behind the pulpit and a young man or young woman that is in that audience that's never been saved have been through tumultuous situations in their family. And it's hard to stand up here and tell them about a loving God and a loving Savior when everything they've experienced in their own home has been nothing but difficulty and hurt and pain and sorrow. And those of us that have grown up in a home that had the love of God, you ought to bow every night and thank God for what you were raised in, because a majority of the kids that are being raised today are raised in a way they have to harden their hearts just to survive. I don't have a big, big issue with hardness, but boy, this next one. God help me here. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith, when they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, when the sun come up, they were scorched, and they had no root, and they withered away. Have y'all noticed, when you go through what we've been through in the last year, it just seems like some just wither away. Some just, you can beg them to come and you can plead, but they wither away. Oh, God help. I find myself, when the heat gets on, I find things coming out of me that are hidden under the surface. Things that I despise. Things that are worldly and that are wrong. And I'm okay when I'm in church, and I'm all right when it's me and you. But every now and then you put the pressure and the heat on. And the things that I've hid, see, you don't see them. I'm like Achan. I've hid them well behind the tent. You don't know they're there, but I know they are. And those stones keep me from growing in the grace of God. They're under the surface and nobody sees them at all. How I'd be so ashamed. But I hope I can navigate around them so that I don't tear nothing up or nothing fully breaks apart. I'm telling you. And these stones, they're in the way. They hinder my growth with God. I can't get where I want to. I can't get where I want to be. I can't find that close. I've got stones. How many of you know if you've ever plowed the ground, it's the one you can't see under the dirt. That's what'll tear your tractor up. That's what'll break your plow. And what we do, so many of us, we leave those stones in those hard places in our life and say, well, we'll just move around it. And I've come this morning to beg God, remove these stones from my life. And I don't know, you ought to be used to this by now. I don't know how used you are to a repentant preacher or a man that'll stay up in front of you and tell you, I've got some things in the way. But I do. And I'm persuaded that maybe, just maybe, I'm not the only one. Let me tell you something. You can bury your sin under the surface. You can bury your problems under the surface and nobody can see it. But I'm going to assure you, in the heat of the moment, they will pop out. And so we've got these stones. So those of you, Russ, I know y'all hunt up in Kentucky and different places. You go by and you see these walls made of stones where they pulled them out of the field. The thing about having stones in the field is you go pick one up and I'll be doggone, there's another one. And you pick another and they just seem like they're everywhere. But listen, I'm going to say this. If you want to stay close to God, keep pulling those stones out. Don't just leave them there. Let the Word of God have recourse in your life and get rid of those stones. Let me ask you, God, how far do I go? Do a name. Yeah. Hi. I got this big old stone, boo. And I hit it all the time. And I know its name, Laura. Its name's anger. And I don't want you to see it. And I try to cover it up and I try to go around it. But oh, when I get in the heat of the moment, it's there. And I know, I realize there's that carnal side of us that we're always going to struggle with sin. But it's not all right to know that stone in my life called anger is there. And just to say, well, it's just there. That's the way I am. Because my conscience is not clear with God. Because out of that stone, out of that impediment in my life, it cripples me. And I tell myself sometimes, oh, well, maybe that's just the carnal. And you know what? I know it's part of the carnal man. But it's something that eventually God has to remove. Now, you know what? Here's the truth. Those fields in Kentucky, Russ, they'll move stones out of those fields until the Lord comes in glory. And there are going to be stones in our life and there'll be stones until the Lord comes in glory. But you know what? That don't give us permission to leave them there unattended. What God wants the church of the living God to do is go. Have you ever had to get on your knees and dig? I tell you, what God wants for me and you is to get on our knees and start digging out some of those stones. Oh, it's hard work. Have you ever tried to pry a round rock out of the dirt and just have the surface of it? I'm going to tell you, it's hard to pry. You got to do some digging around it. But eventually you stick that pry bar under there. And if you've got enough force, I'm going to tell you, I'm waiting on the rain. The Spirit of God can move my stone. The Bible said they had no deepness. And when the sun was up, they were scorched and they withered away. Some fell among thorns. Oh my God, help. I tell you, Lord, give us some salve at the end of this. My legs are bleeding already. Others fell, are saying some fell among the thorns and they sprung up and they choked them out. Does anybody else besides your pastor have trouble with things getting in the way? Does anybody else besides your pastor, my heart of hearts, God knows my heart. Y'all believe God knows your heart? I want to serve Him with everything I have and with all that I've got. But if it ain't the stones that get in the way, so often it's the tires that sprang up and choked the life out. Sometimes we allow things to come into our life that choke the desire. Listen, if you allow them to grow in your life long enough, they won't only choke your fruitfulness out, they will choke your desire. There's so many people that allow things to come into their life and it's like an old morning glory vine. And man, I tell you, I wish y'all, anybody know what a morning glory vine is? Well, thank God I've got some people who know how to farm around here. Listen, and that morning glory will wrap and wrap and it'll constrict. It's like kudzu, it'll grow and it will literally choke the life out of the plant. And I'm going to tell you, if it's left alone and not dealt with, it will bring death to it. It'll choke the fruitfulness out of it. Listen, is there anybody besides your pastor that sometimes allows things to spring up and choke the life? I used to hate this. Now we grow on plastic and it's a whole lot easier. But used to, when we grew conventional, after the plants got to 5 or 6 leaf stage, we would go beside them with tillers and you would have that middle that had weeds and you'd have to bust it out. You might know what that means, busting the middles. What that means is you take a hand hoe, it's got a blade on it, and you would cut those weeds out in the middles. You would get around the plant and you'd do your best cut the weeds out around the plant and make sure there was nothing there that would constrict the growth. And it was hard work. I'm telling you, I've been in fields that were 2,000 feet long and you're on a roll and you've got to go 2,000 feet with a hoe in your hand cutting out weeds and pulling up dirt along the way. And it's not easy work. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Shane, I believe you know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? But if you leave them there, they'll choke the fruitfulness out of the plant. Let me say this to the church of the living God. There are certain things in the church and in our lives that we have to root up and root out. Because, listen, if we don't, it will kill our spirit, our walk with God. It'll kill our testimony. Do you know how many Christians have allowed men and women that started off with a good and a right heart toward God? I'm persuaded they were born again, started out walking with the Lord. But things, isn't it funny when you really try to live for the Lord, how many things spring up? Let me ask you this. Does anybody besides me find out that the more and the greater desire I have to serve God, it seems like the more things spring up to try to choke that out? Sometimes you gotta let that double-edged sword get in your life and cut out the weeds that are gonna choke it and cause you trouble. Hey, let's go on to verse 8. But others fell into good ground. Boy, ain't that encouraging. Good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Now, you've heard the message this morning. Does anybody have the guts to be honest with themselves? And let's grade our ground for just a second. What is the ground of your heart? Are you the one who's hardened your heart because you've been hurt and you've said, I'm not going to allow anything to come in and I'm not going to open up my love or my emotion to anybody. I'm going to shut everybody out. Is that you? Are you the one that, like your pastor, you've done a good job of going around some stones, but they're there under the ground, and you listen about Achan. He knew all along the gold, the silver, and the Babylonian garment was hid in the ground behind his tent. I know what's in my life. You know what's in your life. Anybody have stony ground? Or is your ground good ground that has allowed things to spring up and choke the fruitfulness out? And you need God to do some weeding and some seeding. I look at some of you and I say, that's good ground. That's ground that's good ground. See, the thing is, God knows and you know. I can look and I can't really tell. Stand to your feet this morning. Listen. There are a lot of people that close their heart off to God because they're scared God's going to ask them to do something. Maybe he asked you to do something in the past and you failed and you're heartbroken about it. I'm going to tell you right now, now is the time for the church of the living God to open up their heart. It's time for us to search and to find out where and what our ground is this morning. He said, break up the fallow ground of your heart. Boy, I tell you what, I'd love for the Spirit of God to move in my life and just absolutely break my heart and make it tender and compassionate like God wants it to be. But this morning, what is the state of the ground of your heart? There's nothing in no state of your ground that can't be changed by prayer. This morning, get us a song. I don't know who we got here, Steve. Get us a song, Brother Roger. You got him, boo. You said, Brother Russell, I've prayed and I've talked to God and I've asked him and nothing in my life has changed. If you're not careful, you'll allow your heart to grow cold toward God. And this morning is a great opportunity to just come and pour your heart out to God. What is the ground of your heart? Church, we've all got that individual ground, but you know what? We've got a collective ground too. When we preached years ago about the pea patch, and the man that stood in the midst and protected his pea patch, I'm going to tell you, as deacons and leaders and praying mamas and everybody in the church, we're laboring together on this ground that in due season we might see God do something great and bring forth fruit. If you need to pray this morning, go ahead as they sing. What you got, Steve?